Turn.
This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of They Think It's All Doha. This is the URN World Cup podcast. No episode is going to be the same. This is going to be a complete variety of shows, different types of podcasts, and it's going to be all about you, the listener, and what you want to hear. So today is a massive episode. I've got five guests joining me today, and we're discussing who we think will be in England's starting lineup for the first game of the World Cup against Iran. So let's start off with the Leicester City fan. Ali Glenn joins me. Ali, how are you today, mate?
I am pretty well. Thank you for having me on, Dom.
How are you? Well, I'm going to ask this to everyone. What's everyone's favourite World Cup memory?
I feel like this is a bit cliche to say, but obviously you can't look much further than the Kieran Trippier free kick from the last World Cup.
What a memory that was. We've also got the current head of speech, Duke. Duke, how are you?
I'm very well, mate. Got a lot on my course at the moment. But yeah, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for asking. How polite of you. Favourite World Cup moment?
It's got to be something in South Africa 2010, I think. I'll say I was at my happiest when Steven Gerrard scored within 4 minutes against the United States. So if we isolate that as the single moment of that game, that would be great. But obviously that was that horrible Rob Green error. But yeah, the Gerrard goal inside 4 minutes that ITV iconically missed as well because they played an advert. But yeah, there were just so many iconic. That's the best World Cup ever for me. But yeah, the Gerrard goal.
Maybe a best World Cups, a ranking of World Cups in our lifetime might be an episode. That's the joy of this podcast. It can go in any direction we like. There's going to be no consistent host, no thematic theme. It's only going to be focused on the World Cup with lots of different podcasts joining forces to make this podcast. I can also see Archie. Archie, how are you, mate? And what's your favourite World Cup moment?
Yeah, I'm doing brilliantly, Dom. I'm really excited as well because we've sort of been chatting about this for the last week or so, and as it comes out, this podcast comes out, it's 200 days before the start of the World Cup, so not to look forward to. And I'd say my favorite World Cup moment, again, you've got to go for 2010, because that's the first World Cup I properly really enjoyed and really got into, probably a bit younger than Duke, but yeah, just being able to watch England for the first time and really get into it. And the South African sort of vibe around that tournament was fantastic. So I'd probably say that.
I remember This Time for Africa by Shakira and Waving Flag by Kayan. I don't know, one hit wonder if there ever was one. But those two songs, the best football songs that haven't been done by England. Pavan gave you a knowing nod there. So I'm going to go to Pavan next. Pavan, how are you, mate? And what's your favourite World Cup memory?
Yes, hello. Thank you for having me on. No, I didn't give any... you're seemingly just reading my facial expressions. It's just the way it is. Anyway, favourite World Cup memory, apart from the Vuvuzelas, you know, for me, it's got to be the Kieran Trippier free kick. But the South Africa World Cup is iconic for a lot of reasons off the pitch as well. So that is definitely an iconic tournament.
We've also got our final guest, but certainly not our least, Shrewsbury fan. And that's a bit of a link towards what we're going to be talking about today, as we've got a multitude of incoming suggestions for England's 11 from 30 different clubs. Amazing support. Thank you, everyone who came in. But Luke Green joins us today. Luke, how are you? And what's your favourite World Cup memory?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. And I think, again, my favourite World Cup memory is probably Kieran Trippier's free kick. Is the closest in my lifetime that we've got to a final. In that moment, I think the whole country believed, only for a few minutes though. So, yeah,
it was a moment where you think this is what other countries feel like, but it was just that little bit too far. We're going to talk a little bit more about the England starting 11 for the first game, but one word answers, people. Can England win the World Cup? I'm going to start with Luke first.
No.
No, positivity.
Yeah.
Pavan, we'll go to you next.
Oh, yes. I'll go yes.
Yes. Archie?
Definitely we can.
That's the positivity I need. Duke, come on. Let's hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're more than capable enough with the personnel. So I have no doubts that they could do it. But yeah.
Glenn, how are we feeling about this?
I'm optimistic, mate. I think we can do it.
Lovely stuff. I think England can do it. I really do believe. So let's go into this starting game. England will play Iran in November the 21st, one of the opening games of the tournament. England got quite a nice group facing definitely America, USA, Iran, and a possible option of Ukraine, Scotland or Wales. So let's go into that Iran game first. England obviously should win that. I think we can all agree that Iran aren't this massive force. Let's go round everyone's teams, who they think will be playing for England. Pavan first, please.
Okay, full team. I went for Ramsdale in goal. I've gone for a back four. I've gone Ramsdale in goal. I did originally have Walker in right back, but I went Trent. I can't not have Trent in there. I stuck with Stones and Maguire, which might be a bit of a surprise, but that's what I've stuck with. I'm going Luke Shaw at left back. And then I've got a midfield three of Bellingham, Rice and Mount. And then Saka, Sterling, flanking Kane up front.
Lovely stuff. I'm going to go to Archie next. Archie, who have you got in your England starting 11 for the Iran game?
Yeah, so I went full force. I think we might as well try and score 4 or 5 against Iran. I've also gone for a back four, but I've gone for Pickford at the back in goal. We can have a chat about that later. The same back four as Pavan, stuck with Maguire and Stones as the centre-back pairing with Trent on the right and Luke Shaw on the left. In the centre of midfield, I got Rice, Bellingham and then Foden just a bit further up as a cam. And then Grealish on the left, Sterling on the right and Kane through the middle up front.
Sounds very attacking. Already thinking about goal difference in the group stage. A little bit worried that we might be coming second and having to sort of get our way through. Come on, Archie, believe. Or are you trying to entertain? Is that what you're suggesting? It's more goal difference.
Start the tournament with a bang. Blow the other team out of the water, I think.
Almost a Panama performance from England, as in the last World Cup. That's got to be my favourite World Cup memory. I remember walking out in sunny Bristol. We could just smell barbecues going off everywhere. England had just scored 6 goals at a World Cup. It was the sort of thing dreams are made of. Beautiful sky, George Ezra's shotguns on in the background. It's just incredible. Let's go to Duke next. Who have you got in your England 11?
I mean, obviously it is in November, so there is a bit of a distance. And I mean, I'd put Pickford in goal, but I think a lot of things could happen in the summer that could change that. You know, if Ten Hag comes in and Henderson starts playing consistently, which could happen, and plays well, I think he should be England number one. I think on paper, he's more talented than both Ramsdale and Pickford. But a lot of it's down to momentum. And Ramsdale, if he keeps going at this pace, and say if Pickford could get relegated and be playing in the Championship, so that would strengthen Ramsdale's case. But I'll go for Pickford based on his form this season. I've gone for a back five, actually. So Trent at wing back with James, Dyer and Stones in a back three. I just think I want to see Trent and James play together. And we've seen James in a back three do pretty well at Chelsea. I quite like Stones playing out as well. You could have Ben White in there. I just think Stones is slightly better. And if he's fit, Ben Chilwell has to play. I've said this on the chat, but I'll die on the hill that he's a better player than Luke Shaw. Midfield two of Rice and Mount, but I'd be happy with Bellingham in there as well. I think any combination of those three is fine. And then a front three of the one that we sort of generally played at the Euros in Saka, Kane and Sterling. I think sort of Saka's creativity and Sterling's ability to make runs in behind is really good. We have sort of two wingers that are both creators, like a Saka and a Foden. I don't think that would work as well, particularly the wing backs. So yeah, that'll be my starting 11. But Kane and Rice are the two players that just have to start every game for me. They're the nailed on starters.
Well, funny you mentioned that. We'll come on to some of the statistics of our fans later. 30 fans of the EFL and Premier League gave in what they want from an England 11. Let's go to Luke next. Luke, what is your starting 11?
Yeah, I chose Nick Pope because I think Pickford will hopefully get relegated this season, which means that he can't really be in the England squad if he's the Championship goalkeeper. And I think Pope is off form. It is a lot better at the moment. I think Trent, well, I've gone for a back five. Trent, Tomori, Maguire, Stones and Chilwell. I think Gareth Southgate has to pick Tomori if he wins Serie A, which is looking really likely at the moment. And then I've gone for Rice and Bellingham, Mount, Foden and Kane.
Lovely stuff. Tomori was picked by 23% of all our fans. We'll come on to some more percentages later, but we've got one team left to give, and that's the Leicester City fan, Ali Glenn. Who is playing for you? Is it Jamie Vardy and Maddison by any chance?
Very sadly, not. I was trying to find a way to shoehorn James Maddison into my team, but I really could not. So my team is in goal, Aaron Ramsdale. After the season I have, I think you can't really look any further. I've gone for a back four as well, which is right back Trent Alexander-Arnold. I'm keeping the centre-back pairing of Stones and Maguire for a reason I'm sure we'll come on to in debates later on in the podcast. I've also gone for Ben Chilwell over Luke Shaw. I believe that there's a sort of, you have to pick Chilwell on form, but it obviously comes down a lot to Ten Hag's influence closer to the time. The midfield, I've agreed with Pav, I believe, with Rice, Bellingham and Mount in there. I think that's the strongest midfield we can put out. And up front, on the left wing, Raheem Sterling, on the right wing, Bukayo Saka, and up front, I feel like it goes without saying, Harry Kane.
Harry Kane was not missed by a single team. So let's deal with the obvious. Two members of the squad are in every single squad, from teams like Man City to Northampton Town, Scunthorpe United. All of the fans have put Harry Kane up top. Let's go to Pavan on this. Obviously, as an Arsenal fan, you don't want to praise him too much, but how important is Kane for this World Cup?
Now, actually, now I think about it, now I'm going to start Tammy Abraham ahead of him, just to ruin the narrative. No, but seriously, Kane is, you know, he's kind of one of those complete strikers that you can always depend upon. Although I would like Southgate to be a bit more experimental. If we need a goal, go to strikers up front, because Abraham has been electric in Serie A this year. But yeah, I think, you know, Kane is, he's England captain, isn't he, as well? So yeah, I think, you know, he kind of does it all. He really can, you know, drop deep and play in Sterling and or whoever the wingers are. And he's just Mr. Dependable. And of course, he's gunning for the England record. So that's all the motivation he needs to kind of score the goals. So that's why he's in every team.
Kane, a fantastic player, won the Golden Boot at the last World Cup. The only other Englishman to do so is Gary Lineker. So hopefully we can see an Italian 90-esque revival for Harry Kane at this World Cup. Archie, Declan Rice is the other player who was not missed out by a single fan. Declan Rice obviously plays for West Ham, probably a big transfer move coming up. What do you think England fans look for in Declan Rice at this tournament?
Well, I think he is probably in this team because he's one of the best in his position, being that this sort of almost box-to-box midfielder, but a little more defensive. And if you're going to start a centre-back pairing of either Stones or Maguire, I'm saying that this is a four-back, we know that Maguire has not been having the greatest season of all time this season. Or if you start another couple of centre-backs, then they're not going to quite have the continuity that potentially we've had at other tournaments before or other England international games. So I think Rice is there to almost be a centre-back just a bit further up. And he's not going to have, well, I don't know if many people have put it in their team, Dom, you'll come on to this later, but Calvin Phillips has been missing from a few teams purely because that the likes of Jude Bellingham have actually come into the frame now, and he's had lots of experience over in Germany and has played fantastically. And I think that it means that it's going to be a lot more pressure on Rice to have that role on his own. And he's gonna come into a frame that hasn't quite had before, because international football is completely different to the Premier League and other European competitions that West Ham find themselves in at the moment. But I feel that, well, the fans obviously feel as well, that he's easily able to contain that role and actually look to fire up that top strikers and wingers that we've got up there, really have some firepower.
So you mentioned there about England's defence being a sort of prominent factor of what we see coming through. Obviously, the style of play at England's last tournament wasn't particularly loved, was it, Alex Duke? But if you look at some of the players who we talked about, some of those popular decisions, there's two players who only got one selection. That is Gihi from Crystal Palace. I hope I pronounced that right. I don't think I have, judging by a lot of shaking of heads. If anyone can help me out, how am I meant to pronounce that? Gihi?
Gihi, I think.
Sorry?
Gihi.
Yeah, that is exactly how you meant to pronounce it. And that's really annoying me now. Nick Pope, Luke Green was the only person to go against the Ramsdale and Pickford bias. Only two people went for Conor Gallagher and three people went for Calvin Phillips, despite his very good performance at the the Euros. So it begs the question, why is everyone so inconsistent? Do people feel happy with the job Southgate did at the last tournament, Alex Duke?
I mean, I think the only criticism people can have of Southgate is that there's some of it that's down to team selection, but also, you know, he was very pragmatic in the way he approached games, and it worked absolutely brilliantly up until the final. I vouch that we didn't lose the Euros because of those penalties missed. We should have blown Italy out of the water in that first half because they were all over the place. And I think Southgate's sort of conservatism in that manner led us to only get the one goal and not sort of have it sorted by half time. But yeah, like I see why people have picked Phillips. He's a really good passer of the ball and he can sit in either the sort of six role or the number eight with Rice just slightly behind him. But he has had injuries this season, so I kind of see why people might lean towards a Jude Bellingham or a Mason Mount over him. But yeah, there's a lot of contention, obviously, in centre-backs, and we've seen it on this podcast already. Do you go with the sort of tried and tested method of Stones and Maguire that has worked at two international tournaments? And I'm of the opinion that we should keep Stones. He's done well at Man City. I know he's been a bit limited by Laporte this season, but when he's come in, he's been really solid. But having Maguire in this team, right, and to a degree having Luke Shaw in this team, it sets a dangerous precedent because these players don't deserve to get called up. They don't deserve to be starting. They barely deserve to be in the squad, to be honest, like based on how they've done this season. So does Southgate just stick with the players who have been loyal to him and have worked for him in the past? Or does he do something different and actually not call them up based on their form? Because I think it's dangerous to have Maguire in that team. He's a liability. And if he goes to Qatar, continuing to play the way he's playing and makes mistakes, Southgate will be chased out the door by England fans because it would be a terrible decision. So I think centre-backs is the biggest unknown. And I've gone for Eric Dier. A lot of people, I think, have sort of disagreed with me, but I just think he looks really good in a back three. But I'd be happy with a Fikayo Tomori in there. I'd be happy with a Ben White. But yeah, there's a lot of decisions to make. And I think centre-backs is kind of the most unknown quantity at the moment.
So I can give you some statistics on that. 90% of our fans asked said they want John Stones in their back line. 0.66%, so that's two-thirds of our fans, wanted Harry Maguire. 23% wanted Tomori. And Kyle Walker appears very often. I can get the statistics now. Kyle Walker is in over half of the team, 16 out of 30. So the popular option really is Walker, Stones and Maguire. Now, Maguire didn't have a very good season last year, and yet he still performed very admirably, only two goals conceded in normal time. Pavan, do you think it's a little harsh to say these lads play for England? Pickford, again, picked by two-thirds of fans. Maguire, picked by two-thirds of fans. Not a popular player for their clubs. They're doing quite well for England. So do you go on international form or do you go club form?
I think I've gone Maguire. I mean, as much as I do like Tomori, and you know, he's great. I just think Maguire, you know, he's not a bad player. The thing is with United, right, is I've said this before, there's not that many bad players. It's just so many bad fits at that club. And in a structured system, like in the Leicester team, when Maguire was there, he was, you know, given the kind of license to dribble and, you know, get up the pitch. And you could really see that ball playing ability. At England, that's also kind of replicated for him. But at club level, it's kind of all over the place. So I find it hard to judge him club level. And going off recent tournaments, we don't want to have so much upheaval that, you know, all of the relationships and all of the good progress we've made at the last couple of tournaments is totally gone. We're back to square one. So it does depend, you know, if Ten Hag is going to work with Maguire or if he's just going to absolutely you know, not play him at all and buy a new centre-back, then, of course, Maguire might be out of the picture. But in a structured system and the way Southgate plays, I would still have Maguire in there.
Maguire, yeah, he's a complex figure, and we've got to go this time. Remember, this is 200 days from the World Cup, so these are big predictions early on. Ali, there's a lot of exciting players I've noticed that have been coming through. 50% of our voters put Jude Bellingham in, 73% put Phil Foden in, and Conor Gallagher, who's had an absolute storming season at Crystal Palace, has also been put in a few times. Jadon Sancho, 4 times. Is there anyone you're really excited about seeing at this World Cup develop for England who maybe haven't had that full game time at previous tournaments?
I think it's probably a stretch to say that they haven't had game time, this person, but the player that I'm really excited to see almost be, at least for me, a guaranteed starter is Bukayo Saka. Because for my money, I reckon he's been the best young English player in the Premier League this year. And he's such an exciting player because he has this ability to go inside and out. So he's sort of dynamic, and it's also, that's a lot of the reason why I paired him with Trent in my team, because both of them have that ability. If one of them wants to go inside, the other can go outside and vice versa. I'm really excited to see that pairing along that line. I think it's probably a World Cup too soon for Gallagher, but he might make it on into the squad. Jude Bellingham, I think, I don't watch as much German football as Pav does, for example, but from what I have seen of him, he's a fantastic player who can be an asset to us both going forward and backwards. So this is a young England squad. We do often forget this because a lot of them have been established for a while. And there are a lot of players who are only going to get better between now and the World Cup and indeed beyond.
Very good point. Let's talk a bit about Saka, selected by 40% of our voters. Luke Green, obviously coming back from a very difficult end to the last tournament. Such a painful way for any young player to go out. Waddle's done it. Pierce has done it. Southgate's done it. Various Vassells has done it. Being that England player who misses that penalty, it's such a harsh way to come back. But if you look at players like Pierce, who really came back from that heartache and really developed his game, actually, for Forest, he had his best season yet. Saka's had an absolutely storming year in the Premier League. What can we expect from Saka this tournament?
I think Saka will probably be one of them players that he brings off the bench, because I think there's a few senior pros ahead of him and that need to start ahead of him as well. I think Saka has had a really good season this year and can actually score penalties now, which is, well, pretty good. We'll probably need that towards the end of the tournament. So, yeah, I think Saka will probably be a bit part player. Maybe play against some of the lower-ranking teams, like Iran, maybe. But, yeah, I don't see him being a starter this tournament.
OK, very interesting. So, we've only got a few minutes left. We're going to go through some pretty big debates quickly. I want to hear everyone's opinion on this, and it's got to be quick, OK? No long answers. Who do you want as England's left-back? Ali Glenn.
Ben Chilwell.
Duke?
I've watched a game of football involving both Ben Chilwell and Luke Shaw, so I'm going to go for Ben Chilwell.
Ben Chilwell again. Archie, what are we thinking?
I think you play Luke Shaw, because Chilwell has not played that much this season, and Luke Shaw has got his fit in the England team. So I think you start with Shaw and perhaps change halfway through the tournament if it's not working, but I think stick with what you've got if it's not failing.
Shawberto all the way to the hills with Archie. Luke Green, who have you got at left back?
Chilwell.
And Pavan?
In a back four, I'm taking Shaw. I think he's a better crosser of the ball. But if we're playing, if Southgate's going to persist with a back five, Chilwell is a better overall player. So, but in a back four, I'm going Shaw.
A lot of formations we've had have had a three up front. Kane has been in every single side, as mentioned. Sterling has been in 80% of the teams suggested. So what we're going to do is we're going to try and find from our current pundits who they think will be the third man in that front three. Assuming we're going to play a front three, again, 200 days to the tournament. Let's go the other way around. Pavan, who would you like to see supporting Sterling and Kane?
Saka, for all the reasons that Ali has said. And yes, he can now score penalties, which is really great to see. He's actually properly worked on it. That's it's something before the start of the season, I thought, OK, Saka's finishing is quite subpar. And I expected it to kind of fairly, take a year or two to really get going. But this year he's, you know, already on, I think, 10 or 11 goals in the league. So he's worked on it, and he's worked on his penalty run-ups, because he's, you know, he's now scored two in a row. And yeah, I think, like, you know, I know the Kane and Sterling is the kind of the Kane and Son at Tottenham, where you have the runner in behind, but you now look at, you know, Kulusevski coming into that front three, and it just looks so much more balanced. I think having a third winger slash, you know, inside forward is just going to unlock Sterling and Kane even more. And I think playing just Sterling and Kane is very dangerous. And I am very wary about playing a kind of attacking midfielder out wide, maybe Foden, but I would like to see a natural winger complement those two.
Let's go, Luke Green. Who have you got supporting Sterling and Kane?
Probably Foden, because I think, again, he's probably been one of Man City's better players this season, and he's kept Grealish out of the team for Man City as well. So I think you can't really go past Foden.
Foden was selected by 73.6% of our voters. Archie Wood, it seems to be quite popular to go Saka or Foden. Who else are you thinking about?
Now, I'm going to throw in the mix a name that Lucas just mentioned there, of Jack Grealish, because we saw that he was fantastic in the Euros last year playing on the wing. And if Southgate, I think a decision he's got to make is, if he's going to play Rice, which our fans have said he should play Rice, he's then got to pick two of Bellingham, Mount, and perhaps Foden, who is in the midfield. Because the problem is, I know it's not a problem really, but England do have a huge amount of top quality attacking players, and there's only room for, if you've got Kane and Sterling, there's only room for one more on the wing, as we're chatting about now. Perhaps he's got to play an attacking midfielder as well. So that's why I'd have Foden and Grealish in the team at the same time. I know Saka has obviously been fantastic this year, and you could swap Saka and Grealish either way, because I think the other one will come on for that player after 60, 65 minutes as an impact sub anyway. So I think it doesn't really matter.
Very good point. I can tell you that Grealish was only selected by 6% of our fan base. 13% went for Sancho and 36% went for Mason Mount. Now, that's quite weird, considering Mason Mount has had the most goal involvement for Chelsea at time of recording. Obviously, things will change. Duke, can you see any of those players breaking into the front three?
Maybe. I mean, I've seen the shouts for Foden, and I just think if you've got Sterling playing in there, you probably don't want Foden on the right. Like, I've always found Foden to be more effective coming in from the left. So I think Saka's our best right winger. So I think if Sterling plays, Pavan made a really good point that you want a kind of more natural creator on one side, and then someone who can make those runs in behind and score those goals. For me, Sterling's the kind of in behind player, and Saka complements him well, because Saka can create from deep. You know, he's a great dribbler. But I said I've got like an absolutely filthy shout here. So if Sterling doesn't play for any reason, which I think is unlikely, but if we play like a Grealish or a Foden on the left, you know what I want on the right? I want Jared Bowen, because Jared Bowen would make those runs in behind and be that kind of second goal scorer to Kane. And he's a really instinctual finisher. But like, Sterling and Bowen together, I think, would be terrible, because they're great at scoring goals, but I don't know how much else they provide. But yeah, if it's like a Grealish or a Foden on the left, I want Jared Bowen.
Jared Bowen was selected by one team. Of course, it was a West Ham fan who put him forward. Only one suggestion. Okay, Glenn, who have we got wrapping it up for us? This is our last selection. Who have you got alongside Kane and Sterling?
This shouldn't really come as a surprise after my speech earlier, hyping him up a little bit. It has to be Bukayo Saka for the reasons I stated. What I would actually like to talk a bit about the Bowen thing very briefly, if we have the time, because the Sterling Bowen thing, yes, they do both get in behind, but I don't think it would necessarily be a massive problem within itself, because of the ability that Harry Kane has to come deep and almost be that playmaker himself. He draws those defenders out of positions by being sort of this almost playmaking forward, this new role. And with the likes of Bellingham, Mount, Foden, whichever of that combination, Gallagher as well, whichever of those you choose to have these sort of midfielders who like to bomb forward past the attacker, having Kane drop deep, draw defenders out of position and create this extra space for all of these attacking outlets to fall into wouldn't necessarily be the worst thing in the world. So I do think we can have these two sort of inside forward attacking wingers in this case. But having said that, I've chosen Bukayo Saka, who can do that, but also has, I think, more different elements to his game.
Lads, thank you so much for all of your inputs. Wonderful display of different clubs. Thank you, everyone who selected a team. What we're going to do, we can't put every team out because there's so many. Everything from Middlesbrough, Arsenal, Everton, Leicester City, West Ham, Southampton, Brentford, Newcastle, Bristol, Brighton, Reading, Northampton Town, Exeter City, so many clubs. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a map up to say thank you to everyone who put a team in. Now, you can also put a team in, so please put that into So They Think It's All Doha Pod, okay? That's going to be the name of our Instagram title. We're going to have an Instagram page and our own podcast feed. We're really excited about this podcast. We have so many special podcasts coming up, working with other podcasts within URN, such as Not In Wales, Eco Frenzy, and Queerest and Dearest. A very important episode, that Queerest and Dearest episode, will be talking about the LGBTQ perspective of World Cups being placed in two bad countries in Russia and Qatar in a row. Lads, thank you all for coming on. Keep it URN, and they think it's all Doha. It is now.